Power Rangers, the Audio Drama, Episode 10, Titanus.
Six Power Rangers stand on top of a Tokyo City skyscraper, doing battle with a legion of golems. Golems led by Goldar. Yeah! Jason takes down a golem, then takes off, charging for Goldar.
I got him!
Right behind you!
Tommy cries out, energizing his dragon dagger and throwing it. Goldar reels as Jason reaches him, bringing down his sword and across the alien's golden chest. Goldar falls back, holding his chest. Jason reels back his sword, Goldar blocking it this time, and the two engaging in a series of blows and counterblows. Tommy, after taking down another golem with a spinning kick, runs over to join in. The red and green ranger working as one to break through Goldar's defense. Tommy turns his head, seeing Bandora standing atop a building across from them with a sneering grin on her face.
Bandora!
You want me? Come and try it!
Hello, children.
Scorpina now leaps from a teleportation beam into combat.
Yeah! I got Bandora! Stay on this, loser!
Tommy, no! It's a trap!
But Tommy hears none of it, running for the edge of the roof and leaping off, using his super speed to travel the distance between the skyscrapers to land onto the same one as Rita Bandora.
Nice of you to come, Tommy. Sorry you can't stay.
Tommy charges in for her, but Rita points her staff and fires, a red beam of light shooting from the circle stone and straight into him. Tommy falls back, dropping from the building and plummeting hundreds of feet. Across on the other roof, the other five continue battling with Goldar and his former wife, pressing them back and starting to get in mortal blows. But as Kimberly aims her bow for a final strike on Scorpina, her attention is snapped quickly to Tommy's scream as he falls.
Tommy!
Not noticing as Scorpina throws her curved blade, striking Kim down with it.
Kim!
Trini charges in, slashing her daggers down into the defenseless Scorpina. The alien woman cries out, hunches over, and then fades out of existence.
Yes!
Across from her, Billy and Zack strike at Goldar, lowering his sword from impacts that allow Jason to finish him off with a final slash. Goldar cries out and fades away himself.
Yeah! Two down!
Trini runs over to help Kimberly up.
You okay?
I'll live, I think. What about Tommy?
I'll get him!
Jason looks over, noticing Rita no longer standing on the building, and swallows. He puts his worst thoughts out of his mind, running to leap off the building into the city street below. Tommy meanwhile rises, having survived the fall. But as he stands and extends his dagger, his armor flickers.
Damn it! No! Not now!
Tommy!
My powers, they're... They're failing!
Hold on!
But the time has run out. The Green Ranger's armor flickers one final time and is gone.
No!
Bandora now emerging behind him and raising her staff.
Goodbye, my Green Ranger.
No!
Ranger casualty. Mission failure. Terminating simulation.
Tokyo fades away, leaving a large empty room within the command center. Several holographic emitters around the room going dim.
Aw, man! We had it!
this holographic technology is amazing. It seems so real.
Yeah, felt real too.
What the hell was that?
My powers failed. Too easily, if you ask me.
Your claimed limitations are programmed in with 98.8% accuracy. The power needed for you to survive both Bandora's attacks and the fall used up everything it had. Accelerating the...
I'm not talking about your powers failing. They wouldn't have if you had listened to me and not been baited by an obvious trap.
So I was meant to let her blow us all up from a distance?
No! We work as a team to take down the generals. Then we go after Bandora. As a team!
Hey, guys. We'll just try again tomorrow. Chill.
We can't go after her if she already killed us. You actually think she cares about those two? She'd blow that building up without a second thought.
So maybe take someone with you. Or better yet, let me go. Since my powers won't fail.
You calling me a liability? What happened to one for all?
Guys!
For you? It's more like one for one. You need to start taking my orders or...
What makes you the boss?
This does!
The color red? Give me a break. I took you all on. I'm obviously the most powerful.
Until that power fails.
Enough!
Zordon's face appears on a screen on the far wall.
All of you, to the main chamber. Now!
Shortly, the Rangers are now gathered on the main control platform, looking upon Zordon's face.
It has now been almost a month since the last attack. I have, up until now, been proud of how you have dedicated this time on training for the battles ahead. But a constant issue persists. That of ego between Jason and Tommy. And, as it happens, I am in need of two Rangers to undertake a new task. I cannot think of a better real-world situation for the two of you to work together to achieve a common goal.
Just the two of us?
Yeah, why not the others?
Because the smaller the team, the better the chance of success.
Right. Because you say so. Great.
What's the mission?
We have located a seventh sword. It could be of great use in the coming battles.
Wait, a seventh sword?
And you're only telling us about this now?
We only just learned of its existence. The texts were vague in speaking of another, so it did not merit serious attention until now. Our scans of your solar system from Zed's reinforcements revealed a sword signature coming from the neighboring planet you call Mars.
So if there's a seventh Zord, then there must be a seventh coin, right?
It does not appear so. None of the scrolls speak of a seventh coin, but they do speak of an ultimate weapon. The combination of all of the guardian beasts into one powerful final form, and a machine that sole purpose is to form it. A pilotless, independent Zord, fully controlled by artificial intelligence.
A sentient Zord? That's... wow.
So, what is it?
Big. Very big. The readings we have seem to indicate it is in the form of an extinct creature you call Brachiosaurus.
And you want us to... what? Turn it on?
It will be more difficult than that, I'm afraid.
The area the Zord is in appears to be protected by a defensive system. Any entry into the zone will activate the Zord and set it to attack anything that approaches it. Only a power client can shut it down.
So we beam into the thing, turn it off, and voila!
No, Jason. The area also has a communication and teleportation dampening field. Evidently to stop anyone from transporting it away.
So we need to get in close and get in before it kills us. Great. What kind of firepower are we dealing with?
Our reading suggests a substantial armament.
All the more reason we should all go. The Megazord...
No. A smaller group on foot should be able to stealthily approach without setting off the defenses, if you are careful. This is why I am only sending the two of you, and without your Zords.
You have got to be joking.
I assume you have an idea of how we can do that?
I have a path and a plan of action ready. I will provide you both with a copy. This is, of course, all a suggestion. I am not commanding you to do this.
Yeah. Okay, fine. How hard could it be?
And we can't take three or four of us? Just in case?
No. This mission is for Jason and Tommy. For the rest of you, I have other tasks in mind. Tree and Kimberly, you will work together on the first.
Risa Vandora, we tracked her teleportation signal when she escaped the last battle. She never left the planet, never even left Atlanta. We lost her signal after that, and have been trying to locate her ever since. We now believe to have found her.
On Earth? What the hell is she doing?
She appears to have taken the identity of one of the people killed in her attack. Her new powers seem to have somehow allowed her to take the woman's form. I would ask the two of you to find her, subdue her, and bring her here. However, if problems arise and she must be terminated, then so be it.
Hey, whoa, that's not our style.
I know. I was simply saying it may come to that. But I too want her as a prisoner. Having her for information on what we will face in the coming battles would be invaluable. Far more than our current prisoner has provided thus far.
And getting her off the streets before she does whatever she is planning is probably a good idea.
Precisely.
What about us?
You and Zack will remain here. You may have noticed that we have a public support issue of late.
To say the least.
Recent reports have swayed the opinion of your people against us. We need to try and get the people of your world back on our side. Having them with us, against your government, will help a great deal if you are attacked by fellow humans again.
All right, I have a few ideas.
You will also be on standby if Tree and Kimberly need backup against Bandora.
All right. Okay, we are actually going into space. Wow.
I know. What are we waiting for?
Good luck, everyone. It's morphin' time!
Great trick!
Tyrannosaurus!
Teleporting you now!
Using all of his power reserves, Alpha is able to boost the teleporter enough to carry Jason and Tommy all the way to the neighboring red planet. But the trip is rough. Long. Not at all like the almost instant beam they are used to when going from place to place on Earth. As the green and red beams dissipate, Jason and Tommy feel a rush of nausea, stumbling, and having to steady themselves on the red rock faces around them.
Whoa. You feel...
Yeah. Must be how far we just got beamed. Give me a sec.
Jason now steadies himself and rises up, looking around at the barren red rocks and sand. The thin atmosphere above showing the black void and stars beyond.
Holy shit! We are actually on Mars! We are the first humans on Mars! Whoa!
Yeah. Shame we can't tell anyone about it. One small step for secret identities.
You got the tracker?
Yeah.
Tommy takes from his backpack a handheld screen the size of a touchpad and turns it on, then activates the location signal. He motions northeast.
Okay. This way. Alpha set this thing up to go off when we reach the defense perimeter.
Lead the way.
They traveled for hours, the lower gravity level allowing them to move far quicker than their powers normally could on Earth. Their armor also allowing them to adjust their gravity as needed for when they need to walk as normal.
How much further?
11.3 miles out.
They both activate their boots to walk as if at Earth gravity levels so they can speak.
Sorry.
Huh?
I was out of line back at the center. You're not a liability.
Thanks. Me too. You were right. I saw Bandora, and I saw Red. Doing that in the real world will get me killed.
Hopefully you won't have to. If the girls are successful.
Yeah. Alright, let's keep moving.
Right behind you.
Trini and Kimberly have spent the entire day, under the guise of a shopping trip, searching up and down the Georgia State Capitol. They have a scanner device, programmed by Alpha to relocate Rita's species, but the science is flawed at best. The biggest issue is that her race is almost identical to humans, save a few internal differences. The search is like trying to find a proverbial needle in a haystack. They are almost ready to give in as the sun begins to set.
Kim, we've been walking around in circles for over 2 hours. She's not here. Give it up already.
The thing said she is here, close.
It's clearly not working. Come on, I really need to get home before my mom gets worried.
That must be nice.
Hmm?
That she cares. My mom spends all her off hours trying to drink away the memory of my dad. She barely notices I'm gone anymore.
Really? I love that. Especially with this stuff. It sounds perfect.
For this, yeah. For me.
What's it doing?
Kimberly holds the device up towards a near building, an office complex of sorts.
She's in there.
You sure?
Nope. But it hasn't beat like that so far, so that's gotta be a good sign, right?
After you.
Back at the command center, Billy has morphed and removed his helmet, having placed it upon and plugged into the main console with connection wires.
There we go. My helmet's feed from last battle is downloaded into the computer. How these two devices speak to each other is beyond me.
I stopped trying to make sense of the coins a long time ago. Now what?
Now we go through it and edit together all the best stuff from what happened in Atlanta. The parts showing us trying to surrender and then getting attacked. Maybe throw in some stuff explaining what happened to Tommy to explain that thing. Without revealing his identity, of course.
Great. Jason and Tommy are walking on Mars right now and we're stuck back here editing. Say, how did you choose these assignments, Z? Seems like you're always giving those two the best jobs. Hell, I could have gone after Rita.
The task selection is based on your skills and temperament.
What's that supposed to mean?
Billy is the best choice for technology-based objectives, as he is quickly becoming very skilled in using our devices, for a human.
And me?
We were worried you wouldn't be able to bring Rita in quietly, without violence.
Remind me to work on your subtlety programming, Alpha.
What? That's crap. I can be calm.
Yeah, we see that.
Hey, don't you take their side.
Let's just get to work, shall we?
You got work, Billy. I'm clearly just here to be on the bench. Figures. Even the floating head and the robot stereotype the black guy. Must be universal.
Zach, we didn't mean...
No, I get it. You carry on. I'll just get out of the way. Seeing as that's what I'm good for, apparently.
Zach exits the main chamber up the gangway.
I'll talk to him.
Billy follows Zach into the hall.
Zach?
Nope. Stay back before I say something I regret, Billy.
They were just explaining their reasons. Badly and without any tact, but...
You agree with them?
I don't know. But this is what they asked us to do. May as well do it the best we can.
This assignment is just busy work. Giving us something to do. We both could have gone to Mars. Zordon only sent those two because he wanted them to stop their dick measuring contest.
Pretty much. I thought we had got past that, but apparently not. Truth is, we probably got given this job because we haven't got any issues to work out.
Maybe. Let's go do this thing.
Billy smiles, the two boys making their way back into the main chamber.
So what's the plan? YouTube?
And for rest.
Jason cries out as a massive blast sends him flying through the air.
I think we might have triggered the security systems.
You think?
I told you the map said to go left. Whoa!
Tommy rolls out of the way of a massive blast, rolling behind a red sandy hill next to Jason.
Let's not do the blame game. We need to get inside and shut it down.
I'll call the Dragon Zord. Distract it while you get inside.
You think the flute will work from here?
One way to find out.
How long does it usually take?
I usually feel something. I don't know. I just know when it's answering me.
And?
Nope.
Okay, so we can't call the Zords from another planet. Fantastic. Now what?
Wait. You hear that?
Hear what?
Exactly. It stopped.
The red and green rangers stand slowly looking up over the hill, daring finally to see the sight of a massive, robotic, white Brachiosaurus, the white color broken only by the black lining of its separated plates, including a black horn atop its head. Its breast has a row of black and gold rings. It remains still, unmoving, but definitely not offline. Then suddenly, its massive giraffe-sized neck extends again, raising its head as its eyes glow red and fires.
Well, so much for that.
No. No, it must have heard your dragon dagger. If it's on the same design as the dragon sword, it might recognize it. It stopped it for a moment, confused it. Play it again. I'll make a run for it.
Don't be crazy. If it attacks, you'll be totally exposed.
What choice do we have?
We could go home and come back with the Zords.
No. I can do this.
Wait. You'll need extra protection. And my powers could give out at any time. Take my shield.
Huh? You can do that.
Apparently. I thought about options and the powers provided an answer. Creepy as hell that the coins are in our heads like that.
Creepy, but useful. Will you be all right without it?
Same as the rest of you. Might even make my powers last longer without the extra part of needing juice.
Okay. How?
Here.
Tommy extends his hand, placing it upon Jason's armored chest. And with a flash of light, the dragon shield fades from around Tommy's chest and shoulders, and appears on Jason's, the Red Ranger now adorning the golden shield.
Thanks, man.
Tommy nods to him.
Ready?
Do it.
Tommy stands and brings the dragon dagger up again.
Hey! Over here, big boy!
Titanus stops, again seeming to be confused as Jason takes off at full super speed towards it.
So far, so good,
Jason thinks to himself, but curses saying it as the Brachiosaurus' eyes light red again.
Oh, hell.
No!
Jason responds by exerting all of his energy, forcing his body and powers beyond their limits to charge faster as the world around him explodes. Jason yells in a combination of pain, terror, and rage as the dragon shield holds. He holds as he continues bounding forwards. He feels the red sands exploding all around him, the ground rising up as a hurricane of debris. Tommy plays the other command tune, which distracts the massive Zord again, long enough for Jason to close the final few feet. As he gets closer, he sees what looks like an entrance hatch upon the main body on the side that is facing him. He thanks his lucky stars, panting hard as he finally reaches it, bringing up his power coin to command the entrance to open. And after what seems like hours, it finally does. Titanus cries out, seeming enraged by what is happening, but is not moved to attack Tommy. The Red Ranger breathes hard as he runs a corridor and to the main elevator that will hopefully take him to where he needs to go. Jason uses his helmet to open the channel to Tommy.
I'm in.
It isn't attacking me, but I'm gonna hide before it changes its mind. You need to find the cockpit, or whatever this one has instead.
Hey, I'm on it.
Jason takes the brief but precious few moments of rest in the moving elevator.
Yep.
The elevator double doors open, revealing what looks more like a computer core than a cockpit. A control room of some kind with the dinosaur symbol embossed in gold, much like their power coins upon the far wall. He moves over, looking for anything in the shape of his coin, then finds it.
Alright. Time to chill out and come home, buddy.
He places the coin into a slot upon the circular console at the center of the room, and watches as the dark red lights around him pulse. And then turn white, the control room now fully illuminated. Outside, Titanus roars one last time before going still. Its roar simmering down into a low, content rumble. From behind his hilltop cover, Tommy slowly rises to look out at the sight.
Jason?
He's under control, right, buddy? Wanna come aboard?
God, yes.
Inside the office building in Atlanta, Kimberly and Trini move around it as inconspicuously as possible. Lucky for them, the building did not require an entrance pass, and had only one rather inattentive security guard.
This way.
37.
What?
That is the 37th time you have said that.
No, it's beeping louder. She is really close.
Uh-huh.
The two girls continue bickering until they notice eyes upon them from across the upper floor balcony. The searing black eyes belong to an Asian woman in a business suit, sitting at a plastic white table in what looks to be an on-site coffee shop.
Why is that creepy woman staring at us? I think we're busted. Get ready to run. I'm not getting arrested out here.
Oh my god. That's her!
How can you tell?
Look at those eyes. It's her!
But she could still call the cops though, right? If she, I mean as this woman, works here.
Just stay close.
Kimberly starts walking across the balcony towards the coffee shop.
Kim? Kim!
Trini moves quickly to keep pace with her.
What are you going to do? More than throw her over the railing in front of everybody?
We are here to talk her into surrendering. So let's talk.
Oh god.
The woman does not take her steely eyes off of them as they approach, fixed like a hawk. As they get closer, they note the long black hair tied into a neat business-like bun. Her suit, however, gives her away slightly. The blazer a coal black, the blouse beneath a deep red.
You found me.
She speaks as they reach her table. Rita's dark red lips break into a smirk as she brings her cup up to sip it.
I do like this coffee thing. It reminds me of a poison I once tasted. For the life of me, I can't remember. If it was like the fourth or the fifth assassination attempt. That one might have been Babu, actually.
Wow. No pretense, huh?
What would be the point? The dead man in the computer obviously told you where to find me. How you did so doesn't really matter. The question is, what will you do now?
I haven't decided yet. Nice look. I miss the horn hat.
So do I. But these are strange times. Please, have a seat.
The girls just look to each other.
I don't have my staff, nor the strength of Goldar's people. You're quite safe at the moment. I simply wish to avoid a scene.
The two young women finally give in and sit at the table across from her.
That's better. I wonder, what would you do if I called security? How far do Zordon's rules really go when it matters?
Let's now find out. You need to come with us.
Oh, do I? To where exactly?
A cell.
Prison? Do I not at least get a trial? You people pride yourself on justice on this island. Yes?
For Americans. For humans.
No. That's just plain racist, child.
We don't need a trial. You're guilty.
Of what?
Try murder. Crimes against humanity. Kidnapping. Child endangerment.
Oh. But Zordon would clearly have to join me on that one. How would an artificial intelligence be imprisoned, exactly?
Everything okay, Miss Soga?
Oh, we're fine, Carlos. Thank you. But my, clients here would like a drink.
We're fine.
Oh, but I insist. 2 decaf, please. They're only young and have school tomorrow.
Of course.
Kimberly sneers as the waiter moves away.
Don't do that.
What?
Treat us like children.
Oh, but you are children. And so far, you have played your little game of superhero without suffering the consequences that grown-ups have to deal with.
You took my boyfriend and turned him into your slave to fight me. I think I suffered enough.
Oh, dear Kimberly. If you think that was suffering, you are in for a terrible shock. You see, so far, I've played the game by certain rules, even when I was tempted to break them. Emperor Zed, Lord of the Andromeda Galaxy, and soon Lord of yours, will not play fair. He will kill everyone you love to get to you, to force you to reveal yourselves to the world. And when you stand exposed, naked, and alone, without powers or protection, he will kill you. Slowly, without mercy. If you had not destroyed my life, I would feel great pity for you, children.
The two rangers swallow, sitting in silence for a moment as their coffees arrive.
Thank you, Carlos.
So you've given up?
Not entirely.
What's your game now? Why are you here?
Because, dear girl, I'm hoping to survive this. Rita Bendora will not. Machiko Soga might.
You're hiding.
Yes. And you should too. Find your moment and strike. To beat him, you need to let go of all attachments and be ready to let the world fall so that you might live. If you choose to battle him head on as you did me, you will lose.
That's what you said when we faced you. How many times have we kicked your ass now?
I was a disgraced commander, banished to the far reaches of the universe with nothing but luck and a book of spells. Lord Zed has studied the source of your powers and has mastered it. Compared to his, your weapons are merely toys.
If he's mastered our powers, why does he want them?
Because they are one of the few sets he has yet to collect.
What?
You think he spent the last century searching alone? He's been collecting. But I've said too much. And this conversation is boring me. Please drink up and leave.
You're coming with us.
We can help you. Help us and we can help you beat him.
An alliance? What an interesting idea.
Never. We would never work with you.
Even to beat Zed.
No amount of help will make up for what she has done. What she is. She would turn on us and take his throne the moment she had the chance.
You're smarter than you look, but enough of this. I don't wish to blow my cover, and you're endangering my plans, so it is late, and it is time for you children to go to sleep.
Kimberly notices too late as a ring on Bandora's finger glows red. Moments later, both she and Trini grow drowsy.
No.
The world fading to darkness.
Good night, girls. See you soon.
They awake hours later, shaken into consciousness by a security guard.
What? What time is it?
Almost 9:45. You kids need to leave before we call the cops.
What? Where did she?
She looks around. Bandora is nowhere to be found.
But I.
Now!
The guard forces them up and escorts them back down to the main door.
My mom's gonna kill me.
It is the next afternoon before all 6 Rangers reassemble at the command center.
And then it flew back. Faster than any spaceship I've ever seen. Headed straight for a hidden hangar bay here on Earth. Looked just like the ones our Zords are in. Except, you know, bigger.
Well done, both of you. You have worked as a team, and now we have a new weapon in our arsenal. Billy and Zack were also successful in their task.
We uploaded the video through a proxy server onto every video site I could think of. It's getting traction.
A good part of the people still hate us no matter what, but it helped for sure.
Good job.
Sorry about our end. We tried talking, but...
Right. So now we all go back and do it the old-fashioned way.
There may be time for that, but from what Kimberly and Trini have said, she doesn't seem to be scheming as of yet.
From what she said, sure. We can't trust her. She made that perfectly clear.
Why did she let us go then? Why leave us there?
She didn't want to blow her cover. Plus, it kind of sounded like she's hiding more than anything.
Hiding from Zed? That's worrying.
Maybe she knows we might be the only shot at holding him back. Maybe. She's hoping to wait and pick up the scraps.
Makes sense. In an evil megalomaniac sort of way.
We can't track her. But at least we know a place we may find her now.
Right. So let's... Oh, what the hell now?
Ay. Oh, no. Oh, dear.
Alpha?
Our scanners are picking up ships passing Saturn. 2 Zadorian Empire destroyers, many fighters, and a huge Zord of some kind.
I thought you said it was a ship.
It is, but it's also a Zord of some kind. A very, very big one.
Serpentera.
On the surface of Mars, where only hours ago Jason and Tommy stood, a huge black shadow is cast. The shadow is in the shape of a serpent, a dragon of some kind. Above, several pointed black knife-shaped craft fly in formation with 2 capital vessels, and between them, is the large black and golden dragon. Windows resembling red glowing eyes are larger than the fighter craft. The fleet continues its flight path towards the blue marble ahead, Earth. On the Repulsa, the crew are brought to attention as they receive the signal. Goldar stands, watching in a mix of terror and pride as he watches the vessel on the main screen.
We must prepare.
Those in the command center are too watching the sight, as Alpha is able to get a visual from one of Zordon's hidden satellites.
What the hell is Serpentera?
The Imperial flagship, made from the same technology as your Zords.
But you said our Zords are ancient.
They are. Zed found several soon after the coins. They were not at the same power set, but he was able to use his top scientists to reverse engineer them, then create himself the ultimate flagship.
Wait, there are other Ranger powers out there?
That's what Pandora meant, when she said he was collecting them.
And now he has come for yours. We must prepare, Rangers. Lord Zed is here.
Power Rangers, the audio drama, episode 10, Titanus.
Narrated by Garrett Scott. Starring Nicholas Erickson as Jason, Joey Sorlis as Tommy, Connor Terrell as Billy, Kenneth Tolles Jr. as Zach, Chloe Liao as Trini, Catherine Black as Kimberly, Jeannie McGuinness as Rita, Keith Seymour as Zordon, Jason Rivers as Goldar, Garrett Scott as Alpha 5. Music and original score by Declan Gilgallon. Power Rangers epic music cover by Objective Guitarist. And Lord Zed performed by Ron Wasserman. Go-Go Power Rangers full vocal version performed by Rex and Lauren Anderson. Written and edited by Carl Dutton. Based on the works of Haim Saban and Shuki Levy, with acknowledgements to the works of Kyle Higgins and Ryan Parrott. Sound effects sourced from freesound.org, pond5.com, and the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Folly. Power Rangers and all related works is copyright of Hasbro and Saban Entertainment. This is a fan production with no affiliation and no copyright infringement intended.